All right. Well, good morning, Father's Vineyard. How's everybody doing? I had something that hit me. I just want to make sure. Yeah, I'm going to get into that. Yeah, that's where that's at. All right. There's a lot going on, isn't it? I tell you what, it just gets going and going. And I can't focus with these things. I look around, it makes me dizzy. I had me a pair hung on my... I finally had to bite the bullet and doing things, working, and if it's tight quarters, I got to throw those spectacles on, you know, because it all gets blurry. And you can't focus. And you can't see what you're working on, and I don't know, maybe that's a word right there in itself, but you got to have what you got to have. You got to have the tools. You got to be, I guess what the word is, be equipped to do things. And as we go forth here, the light of the body, the lamp, is just huge. It's a huge factor in how we see things, and that's where our perception comes from, It's connected, about being connected spiritually. Our heart is what illuminates our eyes, and it's what projects, because the eye is like a mirror. And I mean, your optometrist would tell you that, right? When it comes in, it reflects, it mirrors, and it flips and goes back. It's like it takes what's coming in, the light, and flips it around and projects it back out like a projection screen. So whatever is on the inside of us, that's what we go back to Matthew 6, 22, 23, about the light and the darkness. If it's single light, clear, our perception will be. But if it's dark, how gross or how great is that darkness in there? So when that light comes in or our perception comes in, what we're looking at, it's reflecting and flipping back off the mirror inside of us, and it projects it back out. So what we find ourselves doing is, if it is dark in there, if we're not getting this darkness worked on, then it projects out. And what we see people, and how we see God, how we see people, how we see everything, even the world, we'll see it in a dark perspective. Can we live that way? It's not to our benefit if we do. But what we do is that we go down and we start, I like to call it digging, like a root. You got to dig a root out, right, Dave? You just can't, they will keep coming back. Things will come. I cut a holly tree down several years ago. And I kept it cut down for a little while. And that sucker has just come back. It's almost a full tree, bigger than what it was before I even cut it down, because I quit working on it, and I never dug it all the way up. Now, I cleared a lot a couple weeks ago, and I got my big front-end loader out there working, and there's a huge pine tree. And I just hit that little pine, no, little, it was a big pine tree. I just barely just crawled up to it. Poof, there it went. Josh, my boy, come running. He says, "Man, that was impressive." I said, "What do you mean?" He says, "Man, you just barely touched it, and it was gone." I didn't realize that machine had that much power. I said, "Well, buddy, stick around." I hit another little tree. It was about that big. 2 hours later, it was a gum tree. Gum trees are the worst trees in the world as far as trying to uproot and push over. The pine trees, root system's shallow. So it looks huge. But it didn't take much for it to go over. So Josh's perception off the top, wow, that machine is very powerful. And it is. But it depends on, it's going to only going to work, or your tools, the equipment is only going to be sufficient according to what it's up against and how you see these things. Now, if you've come up against a sweet gum or any kind of gum tree, then you're going to know that that sucker's got about a 4 to 5 foot taproot, which goes straight down. And really, the only way, it's almost like pulling teeth. You got to really get the track hoe, or you're just not going to push it over. You got to, pretty much what I end up doing is cutting them off. So I can take the track hoe, get it down, and dig around all of it, get all the smaller roots out. And then take the thumb and reach down, and you just got to just about just pull that sucker straight up out of the hole before you can get it removed. But if I don't get it out of the way, guess what you're going to have later on? It's going to come back. So that's the same thing as like how what we perceive and how we do it. Well, that's just a little tree over there. I'm not really worried about that. It won't take long for that. Well, it will probably take longer than maybe you perceive what the big thing is. So that's what our light, the lamp, our eyes will reflect in, and what the Lord Jesus is talking about, that darkness. If there's a little dark, how great is that? We can't perceive the things projected out if we're going to look through a dark lens. And even if it looks, it could be illuminated, it could look like it's not going to be a big deal in our life. But they, even the small things that maybe we want to not even, I don't know, approach or deal with in our life, things that are like we were talking about prior, that our soul will kind of take over and push those things to the side or down in the dark dungeon. We don't deal with them. How great is that? Because when it's down in that hole, you can't see that system that's working. So in our light of our eyes, what Jesus is showing, and where we talked about that the spirit of a man is a candle unto the Lord, searching the most inner part. It's just like that track hoe. Instead of me going, I have to dig around them, those big substances. Now, got all that down, only had one more tree to go. And I said, well, we'll just knock off, and we'll come back tomorrow and knock this out, and we'll be load up, and we'll have a good early day, pick up some lunch and enjoy our Friday, because I think that's what I broke on. Well, that happened to be about a cluster. It was one tree system, but in that system, it had about 8 poplars. And it took us about 7 hours, because I didn't want to tear up, because I already had work done and put drainage systems in, and it was kind of rooted, connected underground, running under. If I could just push it over, I would have anyway. But if I did, it also, as I pushed it over, it could have dug up the work that I've already done and got paid for and finished with. And then I had to go back and do all that again and have to eat all that. You know, wouldn't have made any money off that deal. So here's the other side of it. When we do have those things, can we just go in there and just start knocking it all over, running through our lives? Or if we do it that way, it's almost like the zeal without knowledge. It could be dangerous. So if we come in here and do it, and we don't have that understanding, how are we going to process this situation? How are we going to get from here to here? So if we're darkness in our eyes, it could mess us up in what we're seeing and where we're going. Therefore, we'll have more damage in the long run, maybe not even to our own lives, but we're not going to get out of that unscathed as well. But look at the collateral damage that could happen. It's a big deal, and we don't even realize that part. So I like to use my life, you know, because that's where I gain understanding, by me doing things. And I learned yesterday, let me take a sip of coffee, a very great revelation. It's not like I didn't already know this kind of revelation, but in the heat of the battle, you won't give up sometimes. and say, man, I'm not doing this. And then, listen, I had some dark stuff come out of me yesterday, to be honest. There was some foul language come out of me. And I kept going. But here's the thing. My excavator, I busted a hose on it. And it's in the track. So it's high speed, low speed. And I've not had high speed for a time because I knew it was going to be a job. As long as I didn't hit that button to flip it from turtle to rabbit, I didn't spray hydraulic fluid anywhere and it didn't leak. I went and bought a hose for it. This is probably maybe last year, and I've not even fixed it yet. But the reason why, because when I went, because I had to go over to Spartanburg to get my stuff from the cat place, right? So it's like, okay, it's a big deal just to even go down there and all that to get it. So I went and got it. But when I got back and I got under there and looked at it, I'm like, I got the wrong hose. This isn't the right one that's busted. So during that process, I found out, I said, well, as long as I don't hit that button, it doesn't leak. So I've been just limping along in low, turtle. But it's okay because you really have more power to do things in low. You don't travel fast, but you get the job done and you got more power. So during all this, I finally said, you know what? I got another good job, a couple of them about to come up. And one that I'm really going to have to probably use high speed in because I got to build a driveway and a road in. So I was like, let me just go ahead and fix it. So during this time, I ordered another line, thinking that was the one I needed to replace. So Thursday, maybe? Thursday, I said, okay, let me do it. So I got under there and took that one off and put the new one on that I had, jumped up, and listen, I just didn't jump up. Let me just build the story up. Let me just tell you, this hose runs through the middle of your turntable underneath once you get up there that you spin on, right? Well, there's a plate you take off, and it's right, it's like here, you know? It's here. Right? You see this? It's here. So when you take the hose off, guess what comes here? And it's so tight when you get your hands on it, you can't do this so it can come here. You got to do this so it comes here. Hydraulic fluid. In your face. Saturating the ground. You're wearing it. It's all over you. Hot. It's hot. Y'all know it's getting hot right now? Yeah. It's not a good time. And I thought I was in a good place, to good shape. By the time that sun broke across that building, I was not in a good spot. And so the other side is, it goes down inside the track in a frame. You can't even see it. And it comes out to where the main drive is. Well, there's four hoses on there. Again, I thought it was the top one. No, it was the next one. So I got it changed out that day. But during this process, what happens is you work. It's got plates and covers on it. But just in those little bitty places, those little slits, if you're in dirt and you're turning and moving, it gets in there. And over years of work, it's like concrete inside of there. And you can't even, I mean, it's just a channel. And it's so packed. You got to get a rod and kind of put through there and then an air hose and shoot it and blow all that stuff out. So I'm covered in hydraulic fluid, blowing this sand and dirt out. It's gritty. It's all over me. It's sticking to me. I don't eat strawberries because of the grit. I like John Wayne, True Grit, but I think that's on the inside. You know, it's not this other stuff, if you get my drift. So I get all that done. I said, praise God. There's an O-ring that's got to go in each connection, too. Them little suckers will get gone in a hurry. And you know how much a kit of O-rings is? $1,000. Bro, people don't understand. You won't be in equipment and doing stuff like that. And they won't, my goodness, that's expensive. I get it. But it won't take but one job. And it'll take my money, profit, if it something tears up. It could take five jobs, profit. That's just roll the dice. But eventually something's going to happen where you're going to have to get hydraulic fluid all over you. Or pay somebody else. Guess how much they charge? Law of mercy. Anyway, O-rings pop out. You got to go find them, look around. I get it fixed. Jump up. Hit my button. It's blowing hydraulic fluid everywhere. And I'm by myself. It'd been a little different. I had somebody hit the button for me. I could be down there to see it and all that. So you hitting that, had to jump down there. Oh, my goodness. So I just cut it off. I got that fixed. That was Thursday or Wednesday. I got this all over me. I said, I'm going home. I'm taking a shower. It's hot. I'm done. Take a break. Sometimes that's the best thing for us to do, right? Take a break. Change our perspective. Pray. Lord, what we're going to do? So I took another day off, had other things to do. So Saturday, yesterday, I said, I'm going to jump on it. I got to get it done. I got to dig dirt. So I go back. I said, oh, that's what I did. That next day, I called Caterpillar, and I said, I got the wrong hoses twice. I'm just going ahead and make me the two big hoses because I to get in there to make it go faster. I want just go ahead and make me both of the big hoses, and I'll just change them both out. And if one's busted, whatever one, I'll still have one for spare for later on. That sounds like wisdom to me. So give me a day. I went, picked them back up the next morning. That's what I did, and come back. So Saturday, I jumped on it, went down. I said, okay. Turned it on, seen it. Well, that's that one right there. It's that. That's the hose. Take it off. Go through all this again. Oh. I mean, it's a nightmare. Absolute nightmare. You know, and during this process, I'm like, this in my eyes. I got my glasses hung around because I could still see, but I didn't even put them on because I got oil all over them. Not to mention, you know, I can't even see out of here, but if I put glasses on to help me see, they got oil all over them. So I won't even see through them then. Oh, what a wonderful mess. I get it on. Get up, praise God, we got it. We persevered. Hit the button. Lord, help me. I already took the other hose and hung it up in the shop. Because I'm like, we're good. Well, here I go. It's leaking. I have to go get the other hose. It's still pouring hydraulic fluid out. Because once you take the hoses off, it's not stopping. It's still pouring. So the whole time, and that's where I got sideways at. I said, ain't nobody know the things I go. Oh, nobody knows the trouble I seen. Nobody around. Let me just let all this out of me. Then it's like, my goodness, boy, you can't let this stuff come out of you. Well, maybe I do need to let it come out of me. But when I get it out of me, I don't need to let it back in. Get shed of it. Because I want to be able to see in that perspective that I need to see in. I get down, I change that one out. I mean, did I say I was saturated? I mean, I'm fit for the frying pan. I'm telling you. Horrible place to be in. Get up there and hit the button after that. How? What? No, the first hose The very first hose that I got all ready was the culprit the whole time. Yeah. $400-something later worth just of hoses. And it was the hose I already paid for. So as I get that done, riding back up on the golf cart, it came to me. It's the word, man. Proverbs 4:7 says that wisdom is the principal or supreme thing. Though it costs all you have, get understanding. You might have the knowledge that it takes, and you do because he displayed that knowledge through all creation. And he took all that junk from the whole world's sin. He took all of that from you. But do you understand what that really is? You're not going to understand the knowledge of God until you go through something that you know you can't go through, and you're ready to give up 5,000 times, and you get the inside all out in the open, and you're all laid out bare before the Lord, and you keep going. You keep going. You're not walking by sight. So when we say the lamp, the light of the body, it's not just the light, the eyes, so I can see where I'm going, because it says the just walks by faith, not by sight. So when all that stuff gets on you, let me tell you, you're not going to see straight. There's only one way. And I was right around the corner was a persimmon tree. I went to move my water trough back around because I'm getting ready to put some steers up to take them to the slaughter. I moved it around so I can get them put up. They've already jumped the fence a couple weeks ago. I had them up. Anyway, that's another story. Hallelujah. So now I'm trying to get them back up again. I will, but anyway. I got branches of persimmon tree just laying on the ground. I said, what in the world? That thing's full of persimmons. So full of persimmons. And I thought to myself right then, by what I just experienced and the understanding of the revelation I just got, is through great travail that you'll see and enter the kingdom of God, that you'll have understanding of what he went through for you. Are you willing just to do a little bit? Hydraulic fluid all over me. In the hot sun, grit all over me. It's nothing compared to what he's done for me. But that gave me a little taste of what it takes to understand. I have to go through so much stuff to really understand. And how many people are willing to keep going through that much stuff just so you can maybe get you don't even know what you're going to get. It's only at the end of that you're going to get the revelation that, my goodness, it's only through great travail that I can do it. But why should I have to go through all this stuff? Why should I have to go through all this stuff just to get a hose changed? Why? Then I see the persimmon laying down. Because, son, if you do not go through these things, if I even put fruit on you, you're going to fall off because you're not strong enough to bear it. Hallelujah. Make me fruitful, Lord. Son, you're not strong enough to even hold the fruit I want to pour out on you. Do you understand that? I looked up, there's another bigger limb. It's barely hanging on, already broke. It's just dangling, full of stuff. Are we ready, church? Body. Do we have the light, which is the power and the oil of God inside of us, to make it to where we're supposed to be? So when the fruit starts coming, can we stand strong and not break over? Because when the world looks upon us, they're not looking through a clear eye. But we have to be clear enough and strong enough so when they see us, they're not going to see us broke down, can't handle the pressures of the things of the world, but we're standing strong in the light of God. Look what it says in 2 Corinthians 4. Let's read something here. I get to running like Forrest Gump. My mouth, anyway, not my legs. I'm not a runner. I'm a sprinter, but I wasn't a runner. Let's look, because here's what it is. So the light and the glory, and do these things. Do you see others the way God sees you? How does the Lord see you? As we get into this, how do we see others and why? Because we're going to be finishing up next week. But look at 2 Corinthians 4. And this is what it's for. This is it. All right, so when we do it, how are we going to get through these situations? What is our purpose? What are we supposed to be filled with? What are we filled with? That's 1 Corinthians. I need 2. There we are. All right, so 2 Corinthians 4. Let's just look. Therefore, since we have this ministry, all right, before I get there, I'm jumping ahead because I got caught up in my story, and it was a good segue. So how does God see you? We had to see God. It's only through, he sees us as the apple of your eye. He sees you as righteous. But in Colossians 1, 21 and 22, just running through right quick to bring me up to where I'm coming right here. He sees you as holy, blameless, and above reproach. That's how he sees you. That's why he's created you to pour his what in you? His spirit, his glory, his power, his light. And that's dokia, which means that's what they seen when they went to the mountain transfiguration. He said, Jesus, it revealed the dokia, the power. He said, the brilliance of God. He said, you can't even bleach something that white. He said, so what he sees you is that. So he says, it's my pleasure to pour that on you. Was it like the oil of gladness I was getting saturated with? It sure didn't feel like it at the moment, y'all. So that's what it looks. But look, if we have the wrong perspective, we're going to. How many times I got to bring the goats up, you know, looking sideways at the rain when it's pouring? My goodness, but if the sheep will get out and graze, they love it. When that stuff's pouring down on us, if our light, our eyes are two-dimensional, we're going to curse it. What we go through, the adversity, we're not going to like it. And we even get to the point where we would despise it. And if we're not careful, it will create a bitter root inside of us. And then we're not even going to get out in any of it anymore. Then you look and say, hey, I know I'm seeing all this going on, but how does he see me? Even when I let all that junk out, is it pleasing to him? No. But here's his grace. It's sufficient. And your weakness. That's what that looks like. You're weak, son. What did he tell him in the garden? Listen, your flesh is weak. Weak is what? Dirt. Weak is dirt, because it is. It's that grit, it's that grime, but that's a jar of clay. Because he's created us here, look at what he said. So therefore, since we have this ministry of reconciliation, that's what he said, you have sees you as reconciled. That's what it says in Colossians. He sees you as reconciled back unto him, in him, because you're baptized, what? In the Spirit of God. The old man's gone, the new man's come. You have reconciled through that Spirit baptism. You are back into the kingdom of God in him. One. So there's no darkness inside of him. So how does he see you? Well, if you're in him, he sees light. Because in him there is no darkness. So it's up to us to do what? To keep keeping that big holly tree from sprouting back up to where it's supposed to be. That's what's seen. I don't want that seen. I want him seen. And I fail him miserably a lot of times. And then I wanted to get disgruntled again. I just want to throw my hands up. Well, good. Because it's not about you anyway, but it's only about you and the perception that you have how good and great I am. Because where does it go right here? It says, so now. So he said to BC, but we do not lose heart. Don't lose heart. When all this stuff comes, do not lose heart. Because look, he says, but we have renounced the secret things of what? Shame. Not walking in craftiness or handling the word of God in deceitfulness, but by expression the truth and commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel is hidden, it is hidden to those who are lost. The God of this world has blinded the minds of those who do not believe. Just the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hallelujah, has shone in our hearts to give the light of knowledge to the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have what? This treasure in the earthen vessel. The excellency of the power being from God and what? Not from ourselves. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not despaired. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. And always carrying around in the body the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, so that also the life of Jesus might be expressed in our bodies. For we have lived and always delivered to death. For Jesus' sake, that also the life of Jesus might be manifested in our mortal flesh. So the death works in us, but life in you. So under that daggone excavator, all this stuff's going on. And I'm going to tell you, I wasn't thinking about the Lord at that time. As that stuff's in me. But just a little bit of him come in. Just a little bit of light shines in. Just a little bit of hope comes in. Well, we're just going to keep going. There's a word called perseverance. Just when you're ready to give up. I watched a meme the other day. He said the daddy, this boy is talking about his daddy. And he said, Daddy said he was going to give up, but he had a little saying, I'm going to give it one more day. I'm going to give it one more day. And the boy, when he grew up, work got so bad and hard on him. He called his daddy. He said, Daddy, I'm quitting. He said, Son, before you do that, won't you just give it one more day? Won't you give it one more day? In doing that, we have to understand that it's his glory that resides in us. And just for us to, listen, Brother Jim said, hey, I seen green this morning. It's a beautiful day. Man, praise God. What if you didn't see the green? Well, like I said, well, sometimes we're getting in a drought, if y'all hadn't paid attention. Things are starting to turn brown now. But just because we can see brown doesn't mean there's not life. We walk by faith, not by sight. And that faith means that, hey, I just know who you are. And so I'm on the phone with my brother Kevin. I'm telling the revelation I had. I was like, man, pray for me because I just tore slap up right now. I got a revelation, but I do have understanding that it's through great travail. Hallelujah. that I'm going to get understanding. And that understanding is so priceless. Peter says over there that it's more precious than gold and silver. These trials. Well, it's through the trials that you're going to get understanding. I pretty much know through my trials. I know what hose is what hose, which one it goes one. Now something comes, I could probably tell somebody else, well, I've been there before. Let me share what I got for you. So who is it for? It's for me, but it's also for whatever comes up later for someone else that I can share that understanding, that knowledge. And then they're going to look at me like what he says. Well, you know what? Kevin said, I got this older guy. It's a hard job. He's an electrician. And that man gets right in there. He don't bat an eye. I got one of my employees ready to quit. Said he ain't working on the job. It's just too much. He done quit. He's not a believer. But this old man sitting, he said, that man don't bat an eye. He's in there doing his work, getting it done. He's an older man. I said, he's a wise old man. Why? Because he's been there, persevered through the travail, got understanding that he knows, hey, this is not also going to last for long. Let me just steward. Let me use that perspective that I have from my heart now, because I know what Jesus has gone through. I got more of an understanding that whatever position, whatever predicament that I'm in, no matter what kind of turmoil that might be brewing around me, I have that peace that surpasses all knowledge. Hallelujah. And understanding that I know that this is going to pass. And it ain't about all that stuff in there. It's about what's in me and what's able to come out. Praise God if that stuff comes out when nobody's looking. That you don't lose your witness. But then if you do, you got to be humble enough to go to them and say, you know what? I'm right here with you. I'm not perfect. That's what makes Jesus so precious, so beautiful, so glorious. He is the King of glory. Hallelujah. And for that, man, it just touches the inner parts of your being. If you know him, you know what he's done for you. It will change that perspective. And that light that's in there, that darkness. Because darkness is what? Just the absence of light. Father, thank you for your love and your life. Thank you for the trials and tribulations. But I tell you, during the mess of it, I'm not thanking you. Forgive me, and I know you have. Help me gain more understanding of what we go through, Lord God, what I go through, so that we can share these life lessons, Lord. You're grooming. You're catering to us. You're lavishing us with your love by doing it. But it don't feel right at the time. But at the end of it, I'm grateful. Touch each one, Lord God. Help them go through the fire that's going to work them into that precious vessel. It's going to kill that dirt and that grit and solidify it, Lord, to hold your glory. And then let it run over so the whole world can see. Let us be strong enough to bear the fruit that you have in store for us, Lord. But we know it's only going to go through a lot of work that it's going to get there. But Lord, as you said over there in 1 John 4, we are the children who've overcome because greater are you in us than that that in the world. We love you, Lord, and we thank you and look forward to the rest of this day. In your holy name, Jesus, amen. All right, we got one more week. Bring a lunch. It's going to get good.